Okay, so you're up. Randy, actually, just by way of introduction, Randy has been to Jamaica, and so I'm going to let him take the floor because of his experiences. So go ahead, Randy, and I will not tarry. Hey, Bob.
All right, well, you know, usually when you say, I've been to Jamaica or I'm going to Jamaica or something like that, you immediately, what comes to your mind? Vacation, absolutely. You think vacation, you think resorts, you think sandy, beautiful beaches and warm tropical breezes and all those kind of things. And, of course, that does exist there for sure. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, if you get away from the all-inclusive resort hotel, you know, where they pick you up at the airport and put a drink in your hand and put you in a van, take you down the road to a nice hotel and take you inside the gated community there. And when you get past all of that, you find out that there's a real country there and there's real people in need of the gospel. And Julie and I have had a couple of opportunities to go to Jamaica over the years and spend some time there doing some ministry and teaching and preaching and things. And we met Brother Bob Weston, I don't even remember how long ago, but through our time at Kansas City Baptist Temple, we met him, and he was there, and he had come, and he would share the Word of God, and he would preach, and he would sing. His singing is infectious, and his boldness for the Word of God is infectious. And we had an opportunity in 2004, I think it was 2004 anyway, to go to Jamaica to work with Bob and some of his people and some of the churches in the far eastern part of the country on the north shore, the northern shore of the country, Port Marie, is that right? And in that area there, if you're familiar with any of that, if you've ever been to Jamaica, you might be familiar with that part of the country. And so I don't remember how many churches we worked with at that time, but we had a discipleship conference. And so we were able to take the philosophy of discipleship, the 16 lessons, and we went and we spent a week there teaching, and we just had a great opportunity to share the Word of God with people and spend time preaching and teaching and getting to know Bob. And we spent time in his home. We lived, slept. He had a bunch of people in his house. We were at his neighbor's house next door, and what a beautiful time that was! Just a phenomenal place to be. And then we came back a few years later in 2007. Julie and I were with another group of people on the south side of the island in Kingston, in the capital city, and just had another opportunity to share the gospel and teach the philosophy of discipleship there. Well, in between all of that, we went to Zambia, and we had the opportunity to spend many years in Zambia working there. And in 2006, Bob came to Zambia. So it was a great opportunity for him to come and spend a week or 10 days or whatever it was there with us. And just an incredible time of fellowship. And so it's really kind of neat how God works to bring people into your life at a certain time in a certain place. And you don't know what God's going to do with that. You don't know what God is going to accomplished through that. You just let God work. You just let God do things. And that's the great thing about being a Christian. You just kind of go with God's flow and let him accomplish what he wants to accomplish in your life. And so we hadn't talked really a whole lot since 2006. And this, a couple of months ago, I'm not even sure the time frame now, it was a couple of months ago, we got a phone call. Brian did, and it was from somebody up at Harvest Baptist Church. And I don't even remember the man's name now. Joe, I think it was, or something like that. But in any case, he calls and says, hey, Bob Weston, he's in Jamaica, and we need some Bibles. We hear you have Bibles. And so God had brought us back here, brought us to Heartland. And over the years, we were able to, especially this year, get this Bible publishing ministry started. And we did, you know, if you recall, we did 4,500 or about 4,600 New Testament or English whole Bibles this past year at the Bible Conference. We didn't know exactly where they were all going to go. We didn't know what we wanted to do. Well, one of our prayers was that they would be distributed within a very short amount of time. We wanted to get them out. And we've had plenty of opportunity to pass out Bibles around the the community here. We gave 1,000 Bibles to Gene Pirtle to take over to the jail ministry or to the prison ministry. Well, this call that came in, it says that Bob Weston needed these Bibles and needed them quickly because he's out of Bibles. He has his sources dried up and he doesn't have a source and he needs Bibles. We just look, well, praise the Lord, we got Bibles. And this work until God brings us back together again for such a time as this so that we could accomplish something for God that's just sweet. And now we get to, Bob and I get to hang out again together. So I'm just really thankful for that. And it's just been a real blessing to see how all that works out. And now the Bibles are still, they're still in process. They're not quite through customs yet. We're going to settle that all up hopefully this week and get them into the hands of his ministry team. I'm going to let you let Bob talk to you about what that ministry is and how he reaches so many different people and how he has such a huge impact. I'd love you to share your testimony a little bit too, just how you have came to know the Lord and how God used you over the years. I'd just love to hear you go through all of that as well. You know, it's just really sweet to see God move in people's lives when they let him. And we don't know what God is going to do in our future. We don't know what God is going to accomplish, but we just let him do it. And he makes things happen and he brings people together and connections that we don't even know are ever going to come to any kind of fruition. All of a sudden, God just says, hey, I need this to happen. And there it is. And he makes these things happen. I wish I had some pictures. I had two CDs that I brought. I thought I had pictures on them. And I think I do, but it didn't read right. So in any case, I just want you to just know that you know your efforts in the Bible conference last fall. We're gonna get rid of all these Bibles, and we've already had another request for another 500 Bibles at another place, another part of the world, and we're gonna try to get those shipped out soon. And I think God is just saying, hey, this church is ready to do something for the world, you know, in the world for the Word of God, and so. We're just thankful. We're thankful that that Bob can use these Bibles. We're thankful that he can take them and you know, he said, I don't care. It doesn't matter what they look like, you know, because they have all got, you know, covers for Cass County on there. He said, as long as they have the King James English in them, that's fine. And praise the Lord, that's what they do. So they have that. And so I'm going to turn it over to Bob now. And I've asked him to, you know, to share his testimony. I've asked him to maybe sing a couple songs because he's a wonderful singer. He praises the Lord with his voice, and then open up the Word and preach to us. So, Bob, come on up and let you have the floor. Don't you guys give him a warm welcome?
Let me see. We once again to see Brother Randy after all these years. We've been in fellowship. One. It's on? Okay, good. Yeah, man. And I've seen him in Jamaica, and I've seen him in Africa, and now we're together again in here in Heartland. This is the name of the place. Am I correct?
Yes.
Heartland. Okay. So I'm just glad that you'd have me here tonight to just share the goodness of Christ with you and to just lift up his name together. Because we do serve a mighty God. And I love to sing for the Lord, and I enjoy praising him, you know. Because he's done great things for me, whereof I'm glad. And so tonight I just want to share a couple of songs with you. Maybe a Jamaican song or so. You know, we sing in Jamaica. And I can get on the piano. I'm not one of these great piano players. I play with three fingers, really. I found out that you don't need to play with all 10. You know what I mean? Just play with three. So the song says, I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. Hallelujah. Good day. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back. 'Cause I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back. 'Cause I want to see my Jesus someday. Goodbye, world. I stand no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures of sin. I stand no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Born, born, born again. I thank God I'm born again. Born, born, born again. I thank God I'm born again. I said I'm born of the water, the spirit and the blood. Thank God I'm born again. Oh yes, I'm born of the water, the spirit and the blood. Thank God I'm born again. I've got my mind made up and I won't turn back, 'cause I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up and I won't turn back, 'cause I want to see my Jesus someday. Oh yes, I'm going to see my Jesus someday. Praise the Lord. But there's a song that, you know, it's called One Way Flight to Glory Land. I don't know about you, but in Jamaica, we love country gospel. We love bluegrass. And I grew up on country gospel, country music too. And the songwriter said, there's a one way flight to Glory Land. We're going to check out of here one day. It's going to go like this. There's a flight leaving here in the morning. Destination was charted long ago. And the captain is waiting and waiting. But the engines are still out low. He's waiting now for those who still linger with unclaimed tickets free. Every man, reservation secured by the Savior for this one-way flight to Glory Land. All aboard, the Master calleth from the runway. Toll gate called Calvary for this one-way flight to Glory Land. Now this flight, it's for all those believing, and a pilot, it's Jesus, God's Son. And the captain is ready and waiting, but the engines are still out low. My brother, don't let the flight leave without you. For soon all those who are on board will say bye-bye. Make your way to the toll gate called Calvary, and secure your reservation in the skies. All aboard, the Master calleth from the runway. For all leaving, yes, it's almost at end. Make your way to the toll gate called Calvary. For this one-way flight to glory land. Oh, make your way to the toll gate called Calvary. About anybody, but I'm getting ready to check out of here. Won't be long. The coming of the Lord is near. Just a matter of time. And I look back over the years, 40 years ago. I was living in New York City at that time and pursuing a career in show business. When I was about 15 years old, I had the privilege, or you could say the pleasure, of performing on the Ed Sullivan Show with guys like Bobby Darin. And, you know, I thought surely that my purpose in life was out there in show business. And our family, we went back to Jamaica after we appeared. I appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, 1962. And my family migrated to the States, and I lived in New York City. When I was about 16, and been in the Air Force in time of the Vietnam War. After I got out, I said, I want to be a star. I want to make it big in New York City. Started to sing in places like Catch a Rising Star with guys like Freddie Prinze, Jay Leno, who was on The Tonight Show. All of these guys came out of Catch a Rising Star. It was at that time in my life that God spoke to me clearly, made it clear to me that this was not the purpose for which he created me. But my purpose was in Jesus Christ. So he prevailed upon me. I got saved. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And then he said, you forget about the clubs, forget about that life, that wild lifestyle, and serve me now. So I drove a cab in New York City, a yellow cab in New York City. And I never forget, one night God spoke to me in the spirit and said, why don't you just start to tell everybody gets in and out of your cab that God, Jesus loves them. And I tell you, that begun for me of 8 years. I drove the cab for 14 years. And for 8 of those years, everyone who got into that cab, I told about Jesus. I worked from 5 in the evening to 5 in the mornings. And I had the opportunity to meet some very famous people in that cab. Witness to guys like Mick Jagger, Dick Cavett, Dan Rather. Witness to Barbara Streisand and her husband. And I never forgot the night I was at 79th Street and Central Park West. And who should I see standing on the corner but Charlton Heston? When he got in my cab, I said, Moses, you know. It was quiet. And he listened to the word, and I shared the word with him. Got a chance to see a number of people get saved in that cab. People that you'd never believe would give their life to Jesus. A Japanese newspaper guy. He was the head of a newspaper company working out of Radio City Music Hall, accepted Jesus Christ. A Chinese actress, a college professor from Columbia University. He was a French professor. I've seen people, my friend, who you'd never believe would come to Christ. The power of the gospel is for real. And I've been robbed and tied up in the cab with 2 guns and taken on a ride. And I never forget that night while three guys got in my cab. And when I got into where they're going, next thing I'm looking at some of the biggest guns I've ever seen in my life. I never knew guns were so big. And they said, get out of the cab, get in the back seat of the cab, which I did. 2 got in the back with me. 1 got up front. And as we were driving along, and the guys were robbing, he said to me, is this all the money you got in your pocket? I said, no, I got some money. Then he said to me, don't lie. And I said, this guy's robbing me, and he's asked me not to tell a lie. I said, well, I told him I got money in my wallet. He reached in, and as we were driving along, he said to me, "I can tell that you're a good man, and if it was not for the love of money, I'd never rob you." And thank God, they never hurt me. They put me out by the Deegan, on the Deegan Expressway, right by Yankee Stadium, and I was able to go to work. What am I saying? God is real. And God, you know, he's saying it's time to get the word of God out to the people before that breath leaves their body and they enter into eternity. So he called me back to Jamaica, 27 years ago, where we've been involved in a lot of street evangelism. We go to the hospital. We have a ministry called Christ Love in Action. We are in this part of Jamaica, we are the number one Bible distributors. People get Bibles from us. Policemen, Jamaicans loved, you know, really, they really love the Bible. But they only want, the folks that we minister to only want the King James Version of the Bible. They'll say to you, "We want the Holy Bible. Don't give us those other Bibles. Give us the Holy Bible." And we have a team. When I'm here, the ministry goes on. We have Meals on Wheels every week. We feed about 60 people every week. Meals on Wheels, we've been doing it now for years. We go to the hospitals. We minister at the hospital 4 days a week, where we preach the gospel. We have a captive audience. You know, we preach about four different times in hospital every 4 days a week. And then we have our Christmas celebration, where we have this year we had close to 1,000 people come to the home on Christmas Day. We preach the gospel, we feed the folks, we give the kids toys, and we just are thanking God. We're believing God for a mighty move of his spirit in Jamaica. I'm quite sure you heard about the two missionaries that got killed in Jamaica. These are people that I know personally, Brother Randy and Brother Harold. They've been to my home a number of occasions. I'm hurting. The ministry members of our team are hurting because Brother Randy did something. He had the right formula for Jamaica. He came to Jamaica and he did what few missionaries have ever done, I would imagine. He started a Bible college in that country, and he got people coming to the Bible college from every different denominations. You know, Jamaicans are very, you know, they don't like to mingle in terms of Pentecostal and Baptist, but he teaches them sound doctrine, and many people have been in that Bible college, and he did something. He duplicated himself. It's as if someone knew that he'd be going one day, not in, of course, in the way that he went tragically, but he has impacted Jamaica, and Harold have impacted Jamaica in a way that's awesome. The people love them, and I'm saying, you know, they've won the hearts of the Jamaican people, and they were like Jamaicans. So we are hurting as a nation. In fact, I heard that either Randy's wife or Harold's wife was comforting the people because they're so bereaved, because these guys meant so much to us. So we are going back to a country where the Muslims have determined they want Jamaica. My neighbor, who happens to be Muslim, he told me that why they want Jamaica is because Jamaica is the one country that has the least population in terms of Muslims. So they're there, but because Jamaica has more churches per square mile than anywhere else in the world. So right now, Jamaica's the battle lines are drawn, but the church in Jamaica has determined that we're believing God for a mighty revival in the year ahead. So we give God thanks, and thank you for having me here tonight. There's a song that I want to share with you before singing the songwriter said, "I trust in God." And I believe right now there's a battle for the soul of America, the battle for the soul of Jamaica. The enemy's on the offensive. So we must, as the people of God, reaffirm our faith in God. We must take our stand for God. Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We can't be running scared. We got to let the enemy know that we mean business for our God. So the writer says, "I trust in God." Praise God. I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the stormy sea. For come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know he cares for me. On mountains bleak or on the stormy sea, the billows roll, he keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. He makes the rose an object of his care. He guides the eagle through the pathless air, and surely he remembers me. My heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know he cares for me. On mountains bleak or on the stormy sea, the billows roll, he keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God. I know he cares for me. On mountains bleak or on the stormy sea, the billows roll, he keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over me. He's watching over you too. And so, you know, when I came, when I got here tonight, I just lost all sense of time. You know, when you're someplace, everybody's so stressed out about time, you know, seem as if they think they can squeeze another hour out of the day. But I get the impression that you folks here, you're here to worship God. Am I right? Am I right? And so I asked the Lord, you know, to give me something that I could share with you from the Word of God. For the Bible tells us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then what it tells me is that we are not just a piece of flesh walking the earth. Actually, man is a spirit living in a physical body. And just as how we feed our physical body, we need to feed the spirit. So I just wanted to share something from the Word of God tonight that the Lord has laid on my heart. And it's from the book of Corinthians, chapter 2, 2 Corinthians. And I want to be looking at the third chapter, verse 17. And then in the fourth chapter, verse 1. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, reading from verse 17. Paul speaking to the church at Corinth, and he says these words, Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Father, we pray a blessing upon your word. We thank thee, Lord God, that we can have the confidence that you are in our, we are in your midst tonight, and that, Father, your word will not return to you void. Speak to our hearts tonight. Let the word of God prevail upon us. Encourage, strengthen, empower, anoint your people. Grant, O God, that your word would fall upon receptive hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, you know, I'd like to just speak on a simple topic. I'm one of these guys. I've never been to seminary. God called me from the streets, and he has just given me the ability to share forth his word. And so I would like to speak on the topic tonight. It's time to look in the mirror. It's time to look in the mirror. And I want to say, you know, that mirrors are relevant to the lives of men and women. When God created us, he created us with an ongoing need to see ourselves. For we are always changing, and God wants us to be kept abreast of the changes that take place in our lives. This need to see ourselves is something that is unique to man. No other creature has this need to see themselves. In fact, when some creatures see themselves, they become hostile. If you show some animals, they become aggressive because they actually believe they're seeing something that's coming against them. I heard on a documentary some time ago that there was a gentleman from Romania that was arrested by Stalin, and he was sent to Siberia for something that apparently he didn't do. And he was in prison. He got there when he was about 30-some years old, and he didn't get out of prison until he was about in his 70s. And when he got out of prison, the first thing that he asked for was a mirror, because he had not seen himself in over some 50 years, 40-some years. And when he saw himself, he began to cry. It's time to look in the mirror. You know that mirrors are a blessing to men because they are very honest with us. They show us ourselves as we really are. So there's no need for somebody to throw a rock in the mirror. The mirror is only telling us the truth about ourselves. In fact, I want to say tonight that it would surprise us in terms of how much time we have spent looking in the mirror. If records were to be kept, we would be surprised to know that we have spent a lot of times looking in the mirror. And I want to say, my friend, that one of the reasons why many of us are late for our appointments in life is because we're so busy looking in the mirror. Sometimes we're even late for church on Sundays because we're too long looking in the mirror. In life, there's really only one of two mirrors in which we see ourselves. Either we see ourselves in the physical mirror that shows us that part of our being that is temporary. That now you see it, No, you don't. It is only with us for a brief moment of time. The Bible says man is like the grass that flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. I think of this guy by the name of Prince, this big star. And when you think about this guy, what has been left of him in terms of just a little urn with his ashes? The physical man that is so temporary. But then there is that other mirror, which is the Word of God. This mirror shows us the inner man, that spirit that dwells in us, that part of us that is eternal, that part of us that will be alive forever and evermore. And it's interesting that though we all look in the mirror, sinners and saints alike, we look in the same Bible, yet there are two different realities that confront us. When a sinner looks into the Word of God, what he sees is something that should trouble him. Because when a sinner looks into the Word of God, what he sees is that he's in rebellion against the very God who created him, the very God who put breath in his body. And being a sinner, he's therefore subject to the wrath of a holy God. It should trouble sinners when they look into the Word of God to know that the very God who formed and fashioned them, they reject him and they openly defy him. The Bible says they openly declare their sin as Sodom. But as the sinner keeps looking into the Word of God, he not only sees that he's a sinner subject to the judgment of God, for the wages of sin is death, but he also sees hope. And that hope is in Christ. For the Bible makes it clear that through Jesus Christ, the sinner can escape the penalty of sin by the grace of God, which is eternal damnation, by accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I am so thankful to the Lord that 40 years I looked into that mirror and I saw myself a sinner in need of repentance and in need of Jesus Christ. On the other hand, when the saints of God look into the mirror, what they see is who we are now that we are in Christ. And it's awesome. For as a result of being in Christ, we are now sons of God. We are now sons of God. Sons of the very God who makes that big sun to shine. And it's awesome when you think about it, because the earth we're living on right now can fit in the sun over 1,000,000 times. God, this great God, has seen fit to make us his son. The Bible said, to them that received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We are joint heirs with Christ. We are destined to reign with him. And I want to say, church, tonight, that it's time to look in the mirror. Because as the bride of Christ, the Bible tells us that we need to be ready when the Lord comes. We need to be ready. I mean, not getting ready, but ready. For the Bible said the bride hath made herself ready. He's coming for a church, not having any spot, not having any wrinkle, not having any blemish. We need to be ready for the coming of Christ. We need to look into the mirror. You know why? Because there's a world out there that is determined to give the church a makeover. A world that is determined to tell us what we need to believe as the church, determined to tell us how we need to live as the church, and determined to tell us what we need to preach as the church. We need to look in the mirror so that we can know who we are, because if you don't know who you are, they'll tell you who you are. As I look at the text tonight, I could see that Paul, in a sense, was saying to these believers at Corinth, it's time to look in the mirror. He said these words here. He said, nevertheless, he said, let's go to verse 15. He said, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with what? Open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And what is that saying? What was Paul saying to these believers? And what is he saying, the Word of God saying to us tonight? The Word of God said, when we look into the mirror, we will see from these words that as the people of God, we now have a purpose to live. We have a purpose to live. And the reason is because we have been sanctified. We have been set apart. The King is now in residence. The very God who made the heavens and the earth, He now resides within us. And that speaks to us tonight of the triumph of grace. For the Bible says, my friend, but we are with open face. And that word open speaks of unveiled face. It speaks to us of the fact that through the grace of God, the veil of sin that once blinded our eyes so that we couldn't see God, we couldn't know God, has now been removed from our eyes. Paul makes it clear that this grace speaks of the triumph, that the grace is a triumphant grace. Because what the law could not do for the children of Israel, because the veil is still over their face, like even though they kept the law, they could not see, they were blinded. That we, by grace, are able to see what they couldn't see, the glory of the Lord. And so tonight we can sing the song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. We have a purpose to live, church. I want to say, when the saints of the church at Corinth heard these words, don't you believe they were shouted for joy? Because these people to whom Paul wrote this letter were sinners of the deepest dye, man. They came out of some terrible sins. These people were people that were considered to be not a people. These were people that the Jews considered to be Gentile dogs. And now Paul is saying to them, you are a holy habitation of the living God. The Bible said we have this treasure in earthen vessels. They shouted, man. And I think we should rejoice to know that within us dwells the very God who made the heavens and the earth. The King is the King is resides in it. The triumph of grace. You know, I want to say there are some places that people seek to find purpose in life. And sad to say, most people's, you know, purpose, of course, is something that every one of us needs to have in order to live. Everybody needs something to motivate them, something that gives meaning to their lives, something that defines them as a person. We need purpose. Sad to say, most people find purpose in terms of just survival. They survive. They just live to eat. They say, well, they live from one paycheck to the next. That's their purpose, is just to find food, clothing, and shelter. Some people seek to find purpose, my friend, in terms of the pleasures of the flesh by indulging their sensual appetite. They just live for pleasure, for the pleasures of sin for a season. And we're living in a very pleasuristic world tonight. It's all about the flesh. But the Bible said if we sow to the flesh, we love the flesh, reap corruption. And the Bible said the pleasures of sin is only for a season. Of course, there's some people who seek to find pleasure by the acquisition of money and material possessions. They define themselves in terms of how much money they got, in terms of the house they live in, the car they drive. But we know, my friend, that no matter how much we acquire, accumulate in this world, when we die, that's there and we are gone. And so the Bible says these words, what is a man profited if he gains the world and loses one eternal soul? You never see an armored truck following a hearse to the graveyard. It stays and we go. And so Solomon says these words. He says, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. It's not about money. It's not about houses. It's not about lands. Paul said this word, my purpose that God has given to me is the greatest purpose known to man. So Paul said these words. He said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, that's my purpose. That's why God created us. God didn't create us to be running around this earth as some little peacock, elevating ourselves. He created us for Christ. Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable to his death. As we look at the text, Paul said, look in the mirror. You got a purpose to live now. You're not just wasting your time on earth. Your purpose is to know Christ and to serve God. But I look at them, when we look, keep looking in that mirror of which Paul speaks, the Word of God, not only did these believers have a purpose to live now, but they had, based upon what the Word of God says, a pattern for life. A pattern for life. For Paul said these words. He said, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We have a pattern for life. You know why? We are being edified. We are being edified. And my friend, let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, I've come to realize that once the Holy Spirit comes to live in me, he didn't come to be a spectator. He didn't come to be just sit and watch me do my thing. He came to take control of my life, to wrest control of my life from the hand of the devil. And I know that before every one of us got saved, we were under the control of the devil. I don't care, we try to make it look nice, but we were all saved. And so the Holy Spirit comes to take control of our lives. And what is his purpose in each of us is to bring us in conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ so that Christ may be formed in us. We are going through a building program here. God is building us, my friend. Every day of life, we are being built up in our spirit. And what that speaks to me of is the triumph of faith. For the Bible said, faith, by the Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is, my friend, our role model. Before I used to find my role models in the people on the big screen. And people who are successful in this world. But he is my friend. He's my pattern for life. And my friend, God, the Holy Spirit is not, he is not a spectator. But I want to say to somebody, he is not a dictator. Because we still have our free will. We can hinder what God wants to do in our lives. We can still have a mind of our own. The Bible said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. What God wants us to do is to work with the Spirit of God. The Bible said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his own good pleasure. You see, what God wants us to do is to deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow him. He wants us to get self out of the way so that Christ can be in control. There must be evidence in our life that the King is in residence. There must be evidence. Before I got saved, the devil, you could see evidence in my life that the devil was there. And that evidence was that I would lie and do all everything. You know, the Bible said he comes out but to rob, kill, and to destroy. We ought not to be surprised when we see people doing these weird things. It's because there's evidence that the devil is at work in their life. The spirit that now works in a tune of disobedience. And if the king is in residence, I must see evidence that the king is in residence. And what is that evidence? The fruit of the spirit. And Paul said these words. He said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, we cannot be glorified unless Christ is in us. And he's not in us to hide. He's not hiding in the background somewhere. The Bible said, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. God said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good deeds and glorify the Father who is in heaven. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. When I was in that cab, God said, you better take your stand for me while you got the breath in your body, while the blood runs in your brain, because one day you're going to be lying in a graveyard, not able to do anything for God. And he said, don't be intimidated by man, because man is flesh. He'll soon be gone. And so Paul said, look, we need to see evidence. And that evidence is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. When people look at your life, do they see evidence? When they look at my life, do they see evidence in me? That I'm a servant of God. You know, in Jamaica, when I'm in the ministry there, you know what? I've been there for 27 years now, preaching all over the place. And you know, it's just now that some people are saying, you're for real. Because this evidence is a consistent witness for Christ. And I'm talking about the tough guys, the guys who smoke the ganja. Some of these guys who are involved in crime. These guys don't just give you the stamp of approval right away. They check you out. They watch you. Maybe people are watching you in your job, in your community, at your home. Your kids are watching you. They're not just going to put that stamp of approval on you just because you say you're a Christian. Just because I say I'm a Christian. They say, we need to see evidence, man. emanates that love, that joy, that compassion. And so, God, I'm saying, Lord, let the evidence manifest in me. And how that evidence manifests, you know what we got to do? I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me tell you, folks, it's not easy. Am I right, church? You find it easy to do that? There's a battle going on. Maybe I'm looking at some of the most saintly folks on earth. Maybe you look like you never have no struggle in your life. But I wonder tonight, if anyone's going through a struggle, Bob, I know Paul said, the good that I should do, I do it not. The things that I shouldn't do, oh man, it's a battle. Am I right, folks? But the evidence is manifesting long suffering, gentleness, underneath all that pressure that the world puts upon us, you still are showing love. The beauty of Christ is being seen in us. I'm coming to the close. I want to say something. When I look into this mirror, you know, there's one more thing that Paul is saying to these believers. He said, okay, you got a purpose to live, and that purpose is Christ. He said, you got a pattern for life. The pattern is Christ. You are being edified. You've been sanctified. But then he says to them, you got a privilege to embrace. You have been certified. He said to them in verse 1 here, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Do you know you got folks who have children but never embrace the privilege of being parents to those children? I remember there's a guy in Jamaica. This guy said to me one day, he said, you know, Brother Bob, I got 18 kids. And I looked at him, you know what I wanted to say to him? You scoundrel. Because he never took care of one of those kids. But he's boasting. What a big man I have. I got 18 kids. But never had the privilege of being a parent to any one of them. Left those kids to roam and wander without parenting. God is saying to the church, we have this ministry. The Muslims don't have it. The Buddhists don't have it. The Hindus don't have it. It's a privilege that God has bestowed upon his church. We have this privilege, this ministry. What is the ministry? The ministry of reconciliation. Wow. To see guys who were just like you and I before we got saved, hanging out in the bars, out there in crime and drugs, to see these men reconciled to God by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have this privilege. And God is saying to us, my friend, we need to embrace it before the breath leaves our body. Because we are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ one day. We're going to have to tell him why we didn't. It's not a judgment unto condemnation, but it's a good judgment unto reward. And you know, my friend, we're going to meet God. We're going to meet him and say, you know, knowing we didn't do what God told us to do. It's a privilege to serve the Lord. David said, I delight to do thy will, O my God. You know, people count it a privilege I thank God for the armed forces, for these guys. Look at what these guys did in the armed forces. These guys count it a privilege to defend this country. And I had the privilege of serving America in times of the Vietnam War. And I'd do it again. Because this country deserves it. It's worthy of it because it's a tremendous country, the United States. But the God who made us, who gives us every morsel of food we eat, who gives us every breath we take, we're gonna say no to him? We're going to put our interest before him? He said, we need to embrace it. We have this ministry. And Paul said, it's a ministry that requires integrity. He said, this, as we have received mercy, we faint not. I'm not going to faint. But God, what God asked me to do, we don't faint. We embrace it, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It must be a ministry based upon integrity, honesty. People must look at us every day and say, boy, you really are living the life. Don't let nobody speak things against God because of our behavior. The Bible said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we've been called. And this ministry demands transparency. We need to be like an open book. And as I close tonight, I'm asking God to help me to embrace it more and more. In spite of all the opposition, in spite of all the persecution, God give me the strength to take my stand for God. When I look in that mirror of God's word, I know my purpose in life. I know the very reason for which God created me. I know that Jesus is my pattern. And I say that one day, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, he looked in the mirror. And in that mirror, he saw himself as the Lamb of God. That Lamb that would be wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. He saw that suffering in the mirror, in the Word of God that awaited him. He saw that he'd be rejected. He saw Calvary. But thank God he saw the suffering that awaited him. But he also saw the glory that awaited him. For the Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of God the Father. So friend, when we look at that mirror, what we need to do is see resurrection one day. It's coming, church. Hallelujah. It won't be long. And we're going to see Jesus. May God bless you all and say thanks again for the Bibles you've sent. We appreciate them. And we are there on that battlefield. And thank you for giving us some ammunition. It's a sacrifice, I know. But we appreciate it and we're going to make good use of it for the glory of God. May God bless you.
Before we wrap up tonight, Bob, that was really good. And praise the Lord. And it's so our purpose, right, our pattern, our privilege, what a great word from the Lord. And as you go forth, man, I tell you what, I pray that you are encouraged in the Lord tonight. It's God's divine providence that he has allowed Brother Weston to, and this has been put together by the Lord. It is a great privilege to be able to do to know Bob. Bob, you probably don't know me, but I've watched Bob from afar my whole Christian life, pretty much since I was a younger man at the KCBT back in the day. And a good friend, he doesn't know this, but a good friend of mine, was mutual, is Gene Pirtle. Yeah, I know you know Gene because Gene and I are tight. And while Gene was working at the jail, I was working at City Mission, and so as he went to the full time ministry doing that, I came down here. So we spent a lot of time working with the same people in the city, and so I just say that to say we need to remember Gene tonight. He's in incredible pain. His back is messed up, so he's looking to get back surgery. But God in his providence, just like Randy was saying, has just connected all these things together for such a time as this. And so you heard the word. There's a battle in Jamaica, right? And this man is on the front line, and he's an ambassador for Christ. That's what he is. He's there in Christ's stead, reconciling men to God. And he just preached about the ministry of reconciliation. And for some weird reason, God took him all the way out of Jamaica. He connected us in a very tangible way with Bibles in a way that was providential, so we couldn't miss it, right? We can't miss the fact that we're rolling the cutter into the room and we get a call about the Bibles in Jamaica. And so as God's confirming our direction as a church, he's also confirming our direction in ministry. And so there's opportunities to be involved literally in the distribution. One of the values that we're going through, which we'll get to next week here at HBF, is real battles. We'll be talking about real battles. There's a real battle going on in Jamaica. And it's not like, well, necessarily, like I say, I kind of set up last week, it's not necessarily a real battle with guns and things like that, but it's an even bigger battle spiritually, although sometimes guns and things get involved, as we have just heard with these two missionaries that lost their lives. And that's your town, isn't it? It's close to where you live, so it's your general area, your vicinity of Jamaica. So, you know, these are things that we just, as we look in the mirror, right, we also need to set our affection on things above and make sure that our hearts are in tune with the Lord and that we care about the things that God cares about. Because it's awesome to know what God's doing and hear it, but we don't want to be forgetful hearers, and we don't want to let the Word of God drop on a hard heart and let it just roll off. And we really need to take it in and process that, wow, the God of heaven is working in our midst, and he's in his providence brought Bob to town. We didn't even know Bob was coming, and he has brought him here, and he has brought him here to speak to us tonight. And so I'm hearing what the Lord's saying. Jesus is our purpose. He is our pattern. And of course it is our privilege, our great privilege, to serve him. And so I want you guys to just be praying about the opportunity to join Harvest Baptist in Blue Springs. They're going to be going to visit Bob this winter. And he said 1,000 children. Men, women, and children. 1,000 men, women, and children are reached just with their Christmas outreach alone. And so why go to Jamaica, right? It's a tourist destination. Well, you heard the reason. He gave us the purpose. It's targeted by the Muslims because it's a least reached country to Islam. And so we're a part of a bigger battle. And you understand the strategic nature of going to Jamaica now, which I didn't actually understand clearly until you just said it. So now I get it. And the Holy Spirit locked that in for me. Because when we approach missions, we approach it right. We understand there's a strategic purpose. It's supernatural. And the Spirit of God has to guide us where we need to go. And so I'm fired up. I'm fired up about all God is and all that he would have for us to do. And the time in which we have to do it, now is the time. So be praying. If you don't have a passport, get a passport. Do something about it. Get your heart right, right? If you're like, I don't want to go. Hey, you can go to Jamaica. What is it, 4 hours, 5 hours in a plane, you know, not counting connecting flights. And so, you know, it's not too far. And you can get there. It's almost convenient. And so we just thought to be praying about the opportunity, the privilege to be a part of what God is doing there. And we are, right? So when you lay your hands on the Word of God, it's equally important. As we assemble the Word of God, now there's purpose, and you understand that it's all part of what God is doing. And I'm excited about who God is and who he saved us to be so that we can accomplish that which he saved us to accomplish. And it's good in this time of history to be aware of that, to even be awake. So let's not fall asleep when God's knocking on the door, but let's answer the call and go. All right, so having said that, are there any questions, bro? I'd like to just give, just we got enough time, just any questions for Bob that you would have him to answer? Anybody? Yeah, Barb? Let's do this. Oh, it's up there. Yeah, you've got your mic on, so. Oh, did you take it off? Well, you're just like me, so that's how I roll. So you can come and stand up here, bro.
My question is, if we came to Jamaica, what would we do?
What would you do?
To help you, to what would we do there?
Okay. What the Lord tells you to. I'm just.
But I mean, it's a time when people come from all walks of life, and we just don't want to see them come and just get fed and the kids get toys. What I would like to see, you know, in terms of a team coming to Jamaica, is to engage these people in conversation, to just share with them and talk with them. You know, you find them very interesting people. You know, Jamaicans, they're very curious. They want to know. And if you could just share what God has done, testify, witness to them. Folks, when the team that came last year, they fed the people. They gave out the meals and wrapped the toys and decorated the home. Because it's like a real, I'm like an old timer. I'm a traditional Christmas guy. I love the old carols and, the, you know, I've been left behind back in the maybe the 60s and the 50s somewhere. I don't even know how to text. I don't know. And I'm still using tape recorder, you know, my little Walkman and so forth. I'm behind time. I'm like Rip Van Winkle. I woke up and found that I'm in the midst of. I said, "What's going on? I'm in a new world." But if just your presence there, just being friendly to the folks, you know, speaking, sharing with them, showing them the love of Christ. You know, we go into churches, of course, and the team would go to the church, and also we go to hospitals. Well, you know, a couple of days ago, visit hospitals and share the word, the infirmary. So it's just your being there and God speaking through you, using your presence to touch someone's life. Maybe it's just one person, but that one person may be used of God to touch many people. So I'm just saying, just being there just to manifest Christ to the people, you know, can make a difference, you know.
That's good. Anyone else have a question? Do you need a passport to go to Jamaica?
I do. You do need a passport.
We need a passport.
Yeah, we got a question back here.
Oh.
Does everybody speak English in Jamaica?
Yes. Oh, yes, they do. But they speak also broken English. They would be like somebody, you know, maybe from Kentucky. We talk like y'all, and they, you know, they got their Jamaican way of saying "Wagwan, man." They, you know, they would say, instead of saying "What is happening?" they say "What." And if you go to Jamaica, as long as you, if you, you know, you can actually fool the people that you know, you understand everything that they're saying. And make, you can actually make them think you know the language. Everything they say to you, all you got to do is say, "No problem, man."
No problem, man.
No problem, man. And it's a man, he can speak. No problem, man, you know. So they do speak. Sometimes it's a little difficult for me, who's a Jamaican, to understand some of these folks. I remember this team came from Kentucky, you know, a couple of years ago. And there's this one guy by the name of Sam. And Sam, when he speaks like 100 words a second. You know what I mean? He's a la 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 la. So this guy by the name of Danny Tolley was sitting on the veranda with Tom. And he's from Kentucky. So he talk like this real slow. And so I saw him out there. And Tom was talking to this guy for about an hour. And he was just going, blah, 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 blah. And Danny was going, "Oh, yeah, yeah." So when Danny came in, he said to Pastor Rob Ice, who came from Kentucky, he said, "I didn't understand one word that boy said." So it's a fun, it's a people, are, you know, they're very engaging, you know. They love people, that type of way.
Good question.
You know, so.
Very good.
Hi, how long would it be? Yeah, how long would we stay?
Oh, well, you're coming from where? Kansas City. Well, Randy, you came. So how long did it take? Maybe take what? You got to connect flights.
As far as the travel, it was flying. Well, she's talking about how long is the trip once they get there.
Once you get there from the airport, or it would take you land at Montego Bay Airport, you'd be journeying for about 100 miles. So you're talking about maybe about 2.5 hours.
Is it like 5 days to 8 days?
The trip
as far
itself.
As
oh, no, the trip. I mean, well, the team that came, they came the Monday. Tuesday, Christmas is on the Friday or the Thursday. They came, it would be like about a 7-day trip, you know, that type of way.
Yeah.
You know. Is it what?
It's over, it's over Christmas. So it'll be Christmas Day.
Yeah,
it'll
be Christmas Day, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
But we've had teams that come at other times, you know, do by VBS and going to the schools and so forth, you know.
Tom, do you have any insights to this trip? Did you go last year?
Yeah, he did.
Why don't you share a couple things?
Yeah. Well, I had the opportunity to, I lived with Bob for 30 days, and I was not there for the Christmas event, but I hear the testimony of the people, I see the impact of the community, Bob lives in a kind of a rural subdivision, and literally, Bob, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they bus in, they come in. I mean, just mobs of people come from all over because of the testimony that Christ's Love and Action has. And the teams just, however many people you get, I know that our team, you just kind of divide up. There's tons of work to do. There's a lot of physical work to do, thousands of people to minister to. And, boy, just a variety of things. I mean, you can do street evangelism throughout the week. As you're, there, there's Man, how long does it take to get ready, Bob? How many days ahead of time? I mean, this is a big event, right?
Yeah, we start getting ready like the start of December because we got to go look for the goats. You know, we usually have two ram goats that we they make a great sacrifice for us on Christmas.
But yeah, lots of emails. I mean,
but if you have any questions about the trip, after you've thought about it a little bit and you're interested in going, just get in touch with me. I've already been in touch with the leader of the team that's going from Harvest. And, you know, how many people can go on the trip? Well, how many people do you think it's going to take to minister a Christmas event to 1,000 people? So, you know, maybe if we have enough, we'll charter a plane.
All hands on deck. All right.
Anybody else over here? Anybody? Okay.
Good. I'm so thankful, Bob, that you took the time to come here. And yeah, and HBF, you need to know that our brother here wanted to be here. Forget that for now. I shouldn't mess with this stuff in action. I'm probably driving him crazy in the back, but he wanted to be here and see us because of the Bibles, and that's just our great privilege. And so we're so thankful and grateful for you to be here. So what I'd like to do as we wrap up is what we often do this with our friends and guest speakers and missionaries and pastors that come from other places. We just pray over them and pray God's blessing. So if you come up here, brother, we just want to pray over Bob. So if now check this out, everybody's like back here. So this is what we do is we make them uncomfortable now and get them up. Everybody, if you can, if you physically can't, that's fine. But if you can bodily get up here,
hallelujah.
It's a small group. Just come on up here. Let's huddle up and just have a word of prayer. I think we got a pretty clear picture of what Bob is doing in Jamaica. And he is a key man in a key place, reaching the world, literally, not too far from here. And so we need to be lifting him up. And, man, it's so awesome that God's brought you here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, that's great. So now, act like you love each other. Like we're going to be in heaven together. Yeah, amen. We'll all be in heaven together. It's okay. And Gwen Arnie is exempt. So he's exempt. So, brother, feel free to stay back. We understand. That's great. Come on in here, guys. And it's holy ground, but it's only because Jesus is here. All right? So, all right. Let's pray over our brother. And, of course, I'll kick it off. And why don't you close it? And in between, why don't we have Larry and John pray?
Okay.
Heavenly Father, I just want to just pray for my brother, Bob. Lord, we just thank you so much for just the ministry of the gospel that, Lord, you've entrusted to him. Lord, as he is a man that is about your business. Lord, he's serious about getting the gospel where it needs to go on time. And Lord, I thank you for just his stirring message today, not only in the word of God, which is ultimately all things, Lord, that we desire and feeds our soul, but also, Lord, how that's working out in his life. Lord, we are so thankful that he is a living epistle, someone that we can literally, tangibly see living out the Great Commission before us, a man who challenges us in goodness and truth. And Lord, we pray, God, that we would respond faithfully to this relationship that you've established with our church. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of putting the Bibles together and shipping them. And Lord, I pray, God, that you might even have us help distribute them at the end. And Lord, that would be a beautiful thing as we would see souls come to faith in Christ through the word of God. Lord, your word is truth. And so, Lord, we just come to you and thank you so much for tonight. We thank you for Bob and his ministry. And above and beyond the 1,000 folks that come at Christmas, Lord, I know that day in, day out, this man is actively engaging the community in Jamaica, Lord. And I pray that you would have your hand of protection upon him. Your good hand would be upon him. Lord, the Sam Ballots and Tobias that would stop him, Lord, I pray that you would just give him the grace to just continue on like Nehemiah as he builds people in the faith. And takes care of those souls, Lord, that you've entrusted to him. And Lord, I pray for the other pastors and the ministers that are following his pattern. Heavenly Father, that it would be that of Christ, God, that it would be reflective of the very image and the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ as you work in and through him. And, Lord, you use these men together in a Philadelphian way. As this missionary who was just killed, Lord, as he goes to heaven and is now in your presence, Lord, I pray, God, a double blessing. The Spirit of God would be upon those that are left behind, Lord. And the work would not be hindered, Lord, but it would actually be expanded, Lord, that you would use it. And that these that are in the way would step up and fill the gaps. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this opportunity to be with our brother. Thank you, we thank you for his ministry. We pray for him. And we just praise you tonight in Jesus' name.
Amen. Precious Lord, as we come to you, come to your precious throne of grace, we just thank you and praise you for this this person that you've pulled off the streets and allowed to be saved and allowed to be a vessel used to carry your word. And Lord, we thank you for his testimony and for his encouragement in our lives that we can be more than we're doing. And Lord, we thank you for this mission field that we've had our eyes open to see that there's a place here that's receptive to your word. And we just ask that you'd guide us, that you'd direct us, that you'd show us what we need to do. And if it be your will and if it be the thing that you would want us to do, that we would send teams there and people. Like was said, we may not start a whole revival for the whole state, but we may have one person saved. And as a result of that, that's a spark that starts a mighty fire across the whole nation of Jamaica. And Lord, many people can be saved as a result of that. And so, Lord, guide us and direct us. Keep our minds where they need to be. Keep us focused on you and what you have for us and what you want us to do. In all this we ask in Jesus and his precious name.
Father, we thank you, God, that you loved us, sent your Son, God, to give us salvation, Lord. And with that, Lord, also gave us a purpose, Lord, a privilege, Lord, to serve you, Lord. We just, Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Lord, just speak to our hearts. Lord, challenge us that, God, we would be busy, Lord. We thank you for Bob and his ministry, Lord, and the challenge that we've heard, Lord, and that what you've accomplished there, Lord. Might you just continue to bless him and strengthen him and his team, Lord, as they serve you. And, Lord, being able to share the word of God, Lord, we just pray that, Lord, we'll see much fruit, Lord, even as these Bibles go out, that, Lord, the word of God will accomplish, the Lord, the purpose you sent it forth to do, Lord. And we just ask that you'll just continue to encourage, Lord, that we as a church would be supportive in every way that we can, God, to see that ministry continue to grow and flourish, that we'll see souls saved. And, Lord, just thank you for loving us and using us, God. Might we always be faithful in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name.
And Father, as we conclude in prayer, we are just so thankful for the love that you have for us, that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, be resurrected in new life, that we have the gift of life through that resurrection. And Father, we pray that you would continue to put the desire to be bold in our witness to the world, Father. Thank you for the purpose and the pattern and the privilege we've heard tonight, Lord, and especially that privilege. What an honor it is to be able to serve the living God. And we just stand humbled before you, Father, knowing that you have chosen to use an inadequate vessel to accomplish a perfect work in the world. And we just pray, Father, that you would continue to strengthen, bless, and encourage Bob and his ministry team and those that work with him day in and day out. We pray for the hands that receive the Bibles that we've given, Father, that they would be changed as a result of the Word of God being given into their life. We pray, Father, for protection on the ministry. We pray, Father, for protection on the workers, their families. We pray, Father, that you would protect the nation of Jamaica from any onslaught from the devil, that you would just hinder him, bind him, and put him in his place, Father, that he would not have any wherewithal to accomplish anything, and that the eyes of the whole nation would be opened, and that they would behold the glory of the living God. And we just thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Well, our brother's here. Give him, introduce yourself, say hi, thank him for coming, and it's a great privilege. You're dismissed.